know where the treats at.
Is this the passing of the torch, right? Is this what this signifies?
It comes down to that front office and what they feel is most important.
The champ is here. We've touched down from a higher plane. Why you made it here?
We always look forward to that week because it was always intense.
You know that we ain't coming back. We about to.
The man, the myth, the legend, Dante Hall. My favorite player growing up was Dante Hall. I love you guys, show, but Dante was my guy.
Get to dashing because you're done on the war feet.
This episode of Chief Concerns is brought to you by BetOnline.ag.
Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, including updated odds on the NBA and NHL playoffs, Major League Baseball, fights, and even next season's NFL futures. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casino and poker games. It's super easy to get started. So head to the website today or use your mobile device to join and use our promo code. That's BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Chief Concerns. I'm here with our guy, former tight end Jason Dunn. JD, how you doing, buddy?
What's up, my brother? What's going on with you, man? You doing all right? How's everything going?
Everything's going well, and actually, I'm doing better after the news I heard right before we came on today, and that's our people at Believe Podcast Network have heard everyone, our Chief Concerns demands over the last few months on Twitter about Chiefs merchandise. Some people saw the giveaways of the Chiefs that we did, and Believe Podcast heard those demands, and they now on their website, and we'll post this in the comments below and the two links, but we have two Chief Concerns shirts that you can get at the Believe Podcast website. One is kind of a throwback looking Chief Concerns shirt, and then the other one is just the logo that you guys have seen from other people getting it from the giveaways. But yeah, so the shirts are there and you guys can finally go get them. So I'm very psyched about that. And I have to go get myself some Chief Concerns gear too.
Yes, sir. Man, it's a wonderful blessing to see it. Some of that merch, I mean, people talking about getting some merch just to kind of represent us. And I think that we need to go ahead and send out some of our loyal fans, giving them some good things, some good gifts, just being out there supporting our channel. So that's a good thing. So, you know, thanks for Believe, and I know they'll enjoy everything. So this is just, I look at it like this. It's kind of like a start of something really, really good. Right.
For sure.
So you can't never have too many shirts or hats or whatever you may do. And, you know, maybe cups and all these, you know, hopefully to grow into all of that. Right. Hopefully get to that point of just, you know, Chiefs concerns going to be on your mind, thinking about the Chiefs, you know, what your concerns are going to be, have the merch. Put it on your shirt. It's going to be good, man. So, yeah, I'm excited.
And like you said, JD, and like we've talked about on the show, the Chief Concerns website will be launching. We're working on it right now, and the merchandise will be there. We'll have lanyards. We'll have hats. We'll have koozies, you know, water bottles, all that good stuff, and we'll have it on the Chief Concerns website, which is not out yet, but we're working on it right now. So right now it's a work in progress. For now, if you want some merch, the Believe Podcast website has Chief Concerns shirts that you can go get right now. So, yeah, we'll keep you guys updated on the Chief Concerns website when that's up and ready and launched to go for you guys.
Yeah, I think when people see me, how much water I drink when I'm sitting on here, the show and whatnot, I'm like, you know, make sure you quench your thirst, you know, using your Chief Concerns. Of course, it's not it right here, but using your Chief Concerns. You know, a Kuji or, you know, a Yeti or whatever you want, these little cups, right? And that, it's right here, man. It's be good for you. So, yeah, it's good to go. Good to go, man. Good news.
Yeah, it's very exciting stuff. I know, just funny, you know, from when we started, you know, it was kind of, you know, like, you know, just guys talking football. Now it's like, oh, we got shirts, we got merchandise, and a lot more coming. So it's exciting stuff here. But yeah, so a lot of news in the Chiefs world. I want to pick your brain about a couple of topics before we get into the main show, JD. So rumors are coming out of Cleveland. Obviously, the whole Deshaun Watson thing going on, the Baker Mayfield drama going on. But amongst all that, you got Kareem Hunt, who might be a guy that's, the rumors are rumbling right now that they may try to trade him. Or if they can't get a partner, they might end up cutting him. And I don't know if you remember towards the end of last year when OBJ's dad was making fun of Baker Mayfield in the clips online. Kareem Hunt's dad actually went on Facebook or one of the social medias and actually was dogging kind of the situation in Cleveland. And that's like, you know, that was kind of the beginning of it. But now it's come to a head where they actually might end up just getting rid of him altogether. Question, if you were the Chiefs and Kareem Hunt becomes available, whether it's trade or release, would you go get Kareem Hunt if you were Brett Veach?
Would I go get Kareem Hunt? If I was Brett Veach, I would drive my car to Cleveland or wherever he is at, put him in my front seat, buy him a couple of meals on my way back to Kansas City, and tell him, match made in heaven, welcome back home. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's, you know what? That's kind of, I had no idea all of this was going on. I didn't. So, I think, man, with a guy like Kareem Hunt that everybody is familiar with, we know what he can do. You know, there was a two-headed monster up there in Cleveland, man. So, you know, Kareem coming here, you know, he'll work back into whatever he needs to work back into. I mean, we got a talented running back by committee right now at the moment, and you add Kareem to that mix. So, I don't know. I don't know how these things, man. You always give me some good nuggets, man. I don't know that. I haven't really thought about that. But that would my initial thought would be, yeah, absolutely, yeah, go get it. Why not? So that's how I feel.
Yeah, and I know a lot of Chiefs Kingdom. You know, they want Kareem Hunt back, but I think I've seen some of the sentiments online saying, well, we already have Rojo and CEH. Running back's really not a need for us, but we need to go get an edge rusher or a DT before getting Kareem Hunt. It's more of a luxury on offense that everyone wants to talk about. But, you know, you talk about he's not getting paid that much. And if he is cut, then, I mean, who knows what kind of deal we can work out there. I don't know. I just think it's not like an unknown because we know what Kareem Hunt's done in this offense before. It's the same offense. We're just bringing him back to it. And, you know, like I feel, you know, as a reduced role that he's had in Cleveland, I feel like he's got there's so much more to go with Kareem Hunt, you know, like pretty much last 2 years, pretty much been a third down back, a glorified third down back, you know, sometimes getting some spot touches here, but he comes back to Kansas City. He could be the 1A again and you have everybody else. I mean, you can kind of rotate in to fill the other role. I mean, what do you think?
I mean, look, it'd be tough for sure. You know, coming back here and having, you know, CEH and Rojo, you know, the room is going to be crowded, but it's going to be crowded with a lot of talent, right? So he will definitely be a luxury. But I think that would spur some competition in the room, right, for everybody to become better. And so I don't know. I don't know how you work these things out. I mean, the Chiefs can make something like that work, you know, because I think there's still some grumblings with, you know, fans and whatnot about, you know, CEH's ability maybe to stay healthy, what he's going to give to the team. I think he's motivated this year, actually, to come out and show everybody what he can do while you drafted him. But if you have a guy like Kareem Hunt coming back who won't cost a lot of money, like I said, you just fill the room with talent, right? And so that could be something that you're utilizing for the future. I mean, this thing is you got to be forthright in your thinking, you know, kind of down the road and where, you know, guys going to be, what, you know, what's going to be able to come out of it, you know, because the thing is, let's just say, and it's always happening. This always happens in the NFL. What if a guy gets hurt, right? And so, you know, where CEH has had a history of getting, you know, some bumps and bruises, you know, missing some games. I think that would give you a little bit more cushion, a little bit more confidence in saying, well, look, we got a guy here. So now Rojo's not the, you know, every down back that he needs to be. You know, we got some young guys I think is going to be able to be an addition as well with Isaiah Pacheco, you know, the guy that we have for Rutgers. So, I mean, there's guys that's in the room, but I think with a guy like Kareem Hunt, guys can learn a lot from him. I mean, so like I said, man, it would only work in the benefit of the Chiefs. Put it that way. The Chiefs will benefit without a doubt having his presence and having his talent back here at, you know, in Kansas City.
Yeah. And I think with getting Nagy back, I mean, that was his OC when he was here. So, I mean, like, it would make all sense in the world to do it again. And I know, like, he was very apologetic and sorry about everything that would happen. It's been some time too, you know, after the whole dramatic exit of him and leaving Kansas City, it's been some time. And I think, like, you know, he's a more mature veteran guy now. And, you know, he dealt with Cleveland and now you come back and maybe right his wrongs and avenge what happened. I would really like that. I think what you're right about CEH, I think he is going to have a good year this year. I mean, we talked about the pass catchers in tennis in Texas this past offseason. He was there with those guys. He wants to get more of a role as more a pass catcher on the backfield. And I think he was awesome at that in college. So I could see him have a really good year this year.
Yeah, I mean, look, we're talking about, you know, different skill sets. And CEH, man, who's a guy that without a doubt could catch the ball out of the backfield, you know, going down there shows his dedication to try to get better, build that rapport with Patrick. And also, too, good graces. Like, hey, you know, that's a check on the box as far as with the coaches. Like, hey, man, this guy right here is serious about being here and being the guy. So, no, that's important. You got to see that. You got to see that hunger from your starting running back, you know, if you will. And so that in itself is why I was like, look, you know what? Him coming back this year, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to what he's going to do on the football field. Exactly. Like I said, I think he's going to have kind of renewed spirit as far as he approaches things, not taking things for granted. And so, you know, more power to him. And if it does happen where you do bring in a guy like Kareem Hunt, that's just going to give me even more hunger, right? It was like, okay, they brought this guy back here. Now I got to deal with this too. Fine. Every single opportunity I get with the ball in my hands, I got to make something happen. Mm-hmm. Not just to – and sometimes you could get – it could be overbearing, you know, trying to make plays, but I think it may also give you like laser focus. You know what I mean? So – I don't know, but I don't want to speak about something we don't quite know anything about. We'll talk about that once Veach goes and gets him in Cleveland, puts him in a car, and gets his butt here. So once we got a couple meals in his belly, if that's going to be the case, we'll come back and revisit that then. All right.
Yeah. Just hypothetical talk. You gotta love it during the off season. So the other thing I wanted to ask you about, so last week we had the big topic on Orlando Brown Jr. probably, you know, getting wanting to be the highest paid left tackle. He didn't have an agent yet. I think a day or two after our show, he ended up signing his agent, Michael Portner, I think his name is, a young guy. But anyway, last 2 days, they've kind of made the media rounds talking about how they do both see Orlando Brown was on NFL Network talking about how he sees himself getting the working on a deal and getting that by the July 15th deadline. And then Michael Portner is also telling people that he says it's going to be close, but they feel like they will get a deal done by the July 15th deadline. A lot of people were kind of questioned on it because usually Brett Veach kind of does a lot of things close to his vest. He doesn't really let a lot of stuff leak. And if that's leaking like that, and if Orlando Brown's so, you know, confident to say that, do you think they're very close on it? They already have like a number in mind. I mean, what do you think about that when stuff like that's getting released by the people themselves that there is going to be a deal done?
I mean, you want to be, you know, show a lot of confidence in that, you know, these things are working in the right direction. And, you know, where Brett Veach may want to keep it closer to his chest, part of Orlando Brown's team, what he's supposed to do is like, hey, put some things out there, right? To instill confidence, like, hey, look, man, look, he wants to be here. He wants to be here during camp. He don't want to miss any days. So we don't want to make it seem like, you know, he's being too greedy. He's not willing to work. We're sitting there saying like, look, we're contacting the Chiefs every single day to hash out all the details. So sometimes in the contract negotiations, it takes some time because I mean, you got to get to what I'm talking about, just the wording. You know, you talk about different incentives. You talk about, you know, what their expectations of him, of what, you know, what he's going to be able to do. And so it does take time. So July the 15th, I don't think it's something like that is impossible. I think, matter of fact, if they're getting on top of, which I'm sure is high priority. Matter of fact, it's probably the number one priority right now to get him, you know, here so he can protect Pat, bottom line. I think, you know, without a doubt, I'm confident in that date. I think they could get something done. I don't know. And here's the thing with negotiations. We just don't know how close or how far they are as far as with number-wise. But I think they kind of knew, like, going into, you know, look, first off, you franchise tag it, okay? So you already know what you're working with, right? And so that in itself helps out with the negotiation because you're going to be close because, look, we already started here. We know we're going to get this anyway with the franchise tag. Mm-hmm. So after that, look, let's go ahead and start working. What we want to do, we want to make him, I don't know, relatively one of the highest paid tackles in the league. And so I don't know if he'll get the top money for tackles, but I do know he's going to be somewhere close to it. Yeah. And so I just know he's going to take advantage of the timing that he has, right? Because he's the man here. Mm-hmm. And so we know that it's going to be a big hole to try to fill if he's not here. Patrick. So in a sense, he's got that leverage going for him. I mean, seriously, he's a huge piece what the Chiefs do as far as like Pat, you know, protecting Patrick and the running backs and whatnot. So yeah. that right there in itself bodes well for him and his agent to definitely, you know, push to get this deal done ahead. So yeah.
Yeah. And I think when we talked about last week, I think that he saw the defensive ends that were getting signed by all the other teams in the AFC West. And he immediately knew, okay, my value is just skyrocketing because of who we're going against, because of who the other team signed. So I think he definitely knew that. Do you think, I don't know anything about having an agent here, but when you sign a new agent like that, I mean, is there a rapport involved as far as like, hey, like I want this deal. Like, you need, like, is it pretty like, hey, like I give you a paper. I'm saying, hey, this is what I want from them. Is it that easy working with a new agent like that to go and jump and try to get a new deal just like that?
I think so. I mean, agents, you know, they know what they're working for. You know, they work for you. And so Orlando Brown knows he knows exactly what he wants. He knows what he wants to do. He knows what he wants to achieve. And so he's, you know, conveying that with his agent. And his agent's like, oh, yeah, absolutely. Everything you want, we'll go for it. We need this here. Sure. If you want some extra Gatorades at your house, we'll make it so, right? You know, if you want some extra ice cubes in your water for the game, we're going to make sure we're going to put that in the contract too.
Yep.
And so that's, you know, the agents work for you. And so, you know, once you give that information to him, hey, he runs with it. So the guy, I kind of looked into him. He's a young guy, started his own a group. So that's, I think that's going to be kind of what I'm a little inquisitive about, like, how's this thing going to go? Like, you know, because if you don't really have a lot of experience, I don't know. I know he said he just got through law school. Maybe he's trying to go get some more and he's doing some more schooling now. This is going to be the biggie for him. So yeah. I don't know, man. So hopefully everything works well in both parties' favor, put it that way.
It's gonna be a big payday for him, though. He just walks in right in that situation. We know Veach wants to pay him a lot of money anyway, so it's gonna be a big payday for that youngster.
Oh man, I know it. Hey, look, that joke was smiling ear to ear right now. When he got that phone call, absolutely. What? This is who? Yeah. You know, he probably had to check his phone two or three different times. He probably called everybody like, man, you cannot believe who I'm working for, who I'm the agent of. You know, but he got going in confident. He's gotta act like he's been there before. You know, so when you go in and you're dealing with, you know, really strategic people as far as like what they do. And look, we always said Brett Veach is frugal, right? Ooh. And so he's got to work through those things. And yeah. It's going to be some tough negotiations, man. But I don't know. Let's see if we can do it, man. See if we can pull it off. And yeah. Like I said, work in favor of both parties. And so, look, I think everybody wants the deal to get done. I know everybody has their opinion about, you know, what he'll get paid and what he should get paid if he's not a great tackle. We're not going to minimize what his contribution is to the team, you know, and how important he is, you know, because the guy is really important. So, you know, he's a Pro Bowl tackle. Mm. You know, what are you going to say? He's young. So let's benefit from a guy right now. Like I said, if you get the deal done now, you don't have to worry about that big price tag later on down the road, because when you start getting down the road, you're going to see how these things go. And we'll talk about it a little bit. Like, we see how Aaron Donald, these contracts are starting to go up. We are seeing guys get paid a whole lot of money.
Yep.
So, you know, bite the bullet now or, you know, wait till later.
Yeah. We were ahead of the game with the whole quarterback situation. We did that deal with Mahomes. And after that, we raised the bar for everybody. Now everyone's paying their quarterbacks a lot of money, and we're the ones who started this. And now we're kind of the victims of it with when you got the what happened with Tyreek, and now possibly what happens with Donald. But we'll talk about that later on.
Man, look, it's how these things go. It's exactly how these things go. Mm-hmm. And so the question is, you pay a guy like this now, or do you wait? You wait to try to get somebody free agency, and you know he comes in, he's still going to try to get a hefty price tag because he knows who you're protecting. He knows who you're going against. Or you try to get a guy in the draft, which is just, I mean, that's a crapshoot. You know, trying to get a pro guy out there right now to tackle.
Yeah.
Yeah, those guys don't grow on trees, man. You don't see them guys everywhere in the supermarket. So, hold on to
them. Well, I remember the 2013 draft when we had the number one pick and no one knew what we were going to do. And I remember there was three tackles. Everyone was kind of like, you know, like Luke Jokel, that everyone's like, oh, that's the best left tackle in draft. Then Eric Fisher's like, oh, well, maybe that Eric Fisher's the guy. And then Lane Johnson, I'll give credit, Lane Johnson and Eric Fisher both panned out. And they've lasted this a while, you know, maybe not number one pick worthy, but like, hey, he's in the league and it's been almost 10 years now. So, I mean, he panned out. Luke Jokel, I don't think lasted that long. Right? And he was kind of gone after that first go around with Jacksonville. I mean, really? So not everyone pans out.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like we said, and I when I read 5 to 6 year deals, what they're leaning on this whole thing. That's potentially what this will be. So it may be higher in the guarantees, maybe not overall highest paid contract, but may have the highest guarantee of any left tackle.
Yeah, man. I mean, you definitely got to make it somewhat desirable and tasty for them to say, you know what? Okay, we could deal with this.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that, right? Yeah, I mean, there's when you can hide money, you know, to get money to him. So, you know, like I said, this guy's this is his first big contract. We'll see how he's going to do.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, too. You have these Chiefs fans who were pissed off. I remember at the time we offered a lot of money to go get Trent Williams, and then he ended up at the last set, the 25th hour, he said, no, I'm staying with San Francisco. And I remember seeing these some Chiefs fans, you know, it's like, wow, we were going to give him this 30-year-old left tackle at the time, a 3 or 4 year deal, no way, all that money. And now we're talking about a 26-year-old guy who we're going to give a lot of money to over a 6 year span. And by the time he's done with that contract, he'll be 31, 32, he'll be an older guy at that point. So it's like some people are never going to be happy. And especially in Chiefs Kingdom, you've got just so many people who are upset about everything all the time. So it's like, can't keep everyone happy.
Right. Hey, man, look, it's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. And I get it. Sometimes when you pay these big contracts, the same thing that we talked about, first round picks, they don't always pan out, right? So when you sit there and you look at it and the guy's not performing for that type of money, then you know you kind of, you know, you're pulling your hair out, you know, you're upset and they're like, man, it's stupid why we do that.
Yeah.
We got to sample size what he was able to do last year, which was a good job. He did a good job. Now, like I said, I think he's going to get better this year. You know, just being there, it just took a long time for the transition from going to right to left.
Yeah,
I think he'll be fine this year, man.
Yeah, I'm excited to see him work out this offseason. It looks like he shed some weight, you know, doing the tennis drills, trying to work on that feet. And like, you know, and that's huge because we're talking about edge rushers, especially the guys in our division. It's huge that he's working on these things. So it's not like he's sitting at home. We're not seeing these, like, you know, of him working out. We're seeing him do it before this big contract. So, hey, the kid's young, so I'm all for it too.
I would be a little bit concerned if we seen him in, you know, videos eating cake.
Yeah. Like,
uh-oh, nah, I don't know, we won't do that. So nah, it's good. Promising, it's good
for sure. And you know, also son of a player too. So I mean, the kid knows what it takes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay, so. All right, now we're going to get to our main segments for tonight. The first one, this one, when I saw the quotes from our receiver coach, Joe Blamire, I was like, okay, this has to be a topic for JD. And so we're going to get right into it. So one of our favorite topics on the show, if you're a Chiefs Concerns fan, you know that we love talking about the comeback story of Josh Gordon. And anyone knows that JD's probably Josh Gordon's biggest fan in the Chiefs community. And so that excitement was shared by our receivers coach, Joe Blamire, this past week when he talked about the expectations they have for Josh. So I'm going to read you the quote here. I have big expectations for Josh. When he got here, it was just doing as much as we could do to get him on the field and having him knowing his assignments. He's extremely smart and intelligent, and he knew he tackled all those challenges, and he did what we needed last year. Now he can kind of understand the why, get on the same page with Pat. understand the timing of how he fits in with everybody else. Not only the reps, but the depth and the feel and him getting his stride back, realizing where he was when he was at the top of his game, how he was doing that. That's really where I've seen him come this spring. And one of the many concerns that we talked about was Gordon not being able to pick up the playbook. And that was probably the reason why he may not have got on the field or, you know, got cut at the end of the season. But they kind of, you know, put that, he poo-pooed that. He said, yeah, he's always been comfortable with the playbook. I would say he's more comfortable with himself in the role in the offense and what we're asking him to do and then how he can do it. Last year, he was just so focused on what we were asking him to do. He was just not neglecting what got him to this point. But now he's just kind of bringing it all full picture. So, JD, when you hear these kind of things about Josh Gordon, about what we learned, what he learned from last year and what he's been doing this offseason, how excited are you for the resurrection of Josh Gordon?
Oh, man. Listen, look, I said this before, man. You know, I'm just a huge fan in Josh from where he's come with his life, coming here, putting it all together, calling this a home that he wants to be, feel like he's dedicated to the team. And so, man, I'm always encouraged. I love a story like this. I'm pulling for this guy. I am. I'm really pulling for this guy. Just for the simple fact that things, like I said before, what he had to deal with. And so, you know, it was a lot there what he said, but I'll say this. I'll start with this. We got to realize, and I think what everybody was expecting was Josh Gordon from 2014, right? You know, the all-pro wide receiver. Everybody was expecting that when he first got here. And to the sense, I don't think people realize, and that was what I was trying to tell E, is like, look, it's going to take some time for a guy who hadn't necessarily been on the field consistently over the time to just come back and come play. I mean, we're talking about full speed in an NFL football game. And so we got him, I think, was it week three that we ended up getting him back, something like that? Do you remember what week it was?
Oh, man. I think it was like it was the Buffalo Bills game. That was week six or week seven.
Okay. Well, whatever week we got it, you know, so, you know, him trying to make that transition from a guy that had been out of football. Like I said, you know, it wasn't like he was getting passes thrown from Patrick Mahomes, which, you know, we're talking about a guy who is throwing lasers. I mean, really. And so he has to get used to that. I mean, just the speed and the timing of the game, not to mention also too, the physicality of just being out there on the field, running routes, getting pushed on, getting hit by linebackers, you know, corners, safeties, all those different things. And so for a guy like that hadn't been playing, it was going to take some time. And like I said, it'd be different if he was on a team that like the year before and had been like that year, and been playing all those times and all those games, it'd be different. But he hadn't been doing that. And so I think right now, man, Josh Gordon is the guy that everybody wanted to be. All right? Those guys that play wide receiver, Juju, MVS, they was watching Josh Gordon. At a time in the league, he was a standard. And so all those guys wanted to be this guy. And so I think what he was talking about was, you know, Josh Gordon, to learn like the nuances of the plays and what he needed to do, was a little bit more like self-doubt that I think he had. And so him trying to work into this offense, which is not easy, but he already said, man, Josh is an intelligent guy. It's not like the playbook was too big and too broad for him. Sometimes it's learning how to fit in the scheme of things. And so, you know, where to be a depth of the route, maybe just getting open. Because this is a lot of, like I said before, this is like for a short or smaller guys style offense of finding the windows or finding the holes. And those are things they have to learn. And so I think part of the deal that Josh was doing was he was being a little bit more robotic. He was trying to run routes, maybe the way that they were, you know, drawn up and how he was used to running routes. And so sometimes with this offense, which it takes a long time that guys need to get, you know, familiar with, and we're talking about getting familiar with Patrick, getting familiar with all the other wide receivers and how you fit in the scheme of things, takes time. And so a big body like Josh, who was not a little guy, but in by no measure of any other man, had to get used to that. And so I think part of that is understanding that a guy who has incredible athletic ability. And so we were hearing this from Patrick. We was hearing this from Travis. We was hearing this from all the other guys about what Josh Gordon brought out there to practice. And so what he was bringing out to practice was him running in his old style, him and his old athletic self. Well, in the game time, it's a little bit different because now all of a sudden you got bodies and things you have to worry about, like spacing, you know, how you lean on guys, leverage in plays. Like I said, finding holes, finding windows. And all those things are like really detailed in what you want to do, you know, systematically in the scheme of things. So, look, everybody could be sleeping on Josh. I hope they are. I hope they are. Because I keep seeing all of this, you know, with, look, MVS, we got Juju, we got Hardman, we got Sky Moore, and then they throw in Ross, Justin Ross. Now, look, nothing against Justin Ross, okay? I love Justin Ross. I think he'll make it. He's a young guy. You know, and Corey Coleman. We got guys. Look, we got talent in the room, man. We got guys that got experience that have played. Josh Gordon has played at a high level, okay? He was arguably the best wide receiver in the league. And I don't want nobody to forget that. But I want everybody to understand, like, that transition from him, you know, from not playing all the time, it was going to take a little time for him to get back to that. And I think once it gets, like, where he's like, okay, I'm comfortable where I'm at. I understand now I could put my Josh Gordon into this. I could use my athletic ability and not think about things. Because I think he was processing a lot when he was out there running routes. It takes time. He's analyzing everything what he's doing. Now, where he's not thinking and he's reacting, just playing, watch out. I'm telling you, he's going to be dangerous. And I'm pushing for this guy because I know he still has an ability. And the reason I say that, because they'd be like, oh, well, he's 30 years old. Well, shoot, he's 30 years old. He don't have a whole lot of miles on his legs.
Nope.
He ain't played a whole lot of games. Yeah. And so, actually, 30 years old is relatively in your prime. I mean, really, in football, and for a man, 30 years old, man, that's perfect timing. That is perfect timing for him. Yeah. And so, like I said, he doesn't have, you know, the 5 to 6 years of legs on him and the hits on him. You know, I did the math. I think the total of games he's played maybe came up to like 4 years, 4.5 years is what he's actually played. You know what I'm saying? Come on, man. Look, we got a young spring chicken on our hands, okay? And if people want to count him out, well, not this guy. I'm not counting him out. I just know what his ability, what he has and what he wields. And I think his wide receiver coach understands it too. You know, that's why he was saying that. But I think they kind of being hush-hush. They didn't want to, you know, that's all, you know, sometimes expectations and people jump on there like, oh, my God. He's like, look, man, you should do your work, okay? You're a veteran. You understand this. You just continue working like you are, right? You know you're going to make the squad. You know you're going to make the team because I think he will. I really think he's going to be that guy, no doubt about it. But, man, when he started working in that timing like he was down in Texas and now getting these reps in practice, man, I'm trying to tell you, man, he's going to be a dangerous guy. He's going to add on to the offense what we need, put it that way, yeah, because of his skill set. And so, like I said, I'm not taking anything away from these young guys. These young guys got a role, and I think they're going to grow into that role. But we're talking about one of the premier wide receivers we got on the Chiefs team, without a doubt, bar none. And yeah, so I don't want everybody, because everybody was expecting 2014 Josh to show up when he got here. And it was like I said before, he's catching footballs from his little cousin, you know, the little cousin throwing him, you know, little ducks and stuff. And they, you know, they ain't got the velocity on it like Patrick Mahomes got.
Yeah.
Like I said, man, he's got some speed on this thing. So that's where I'm at with it, man. I'm encouraged. I love to hear it. I love to hear it. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to sit back. Okay. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to watch. I'm going to let everything work itself out. But I know veteran guys. I know how veteran guys work and then their mindset and what he's thinking. And so he's shown nothing but gratitude coming here with the Chiefs. And I think a guy, once he finds a home that he needs and that's accepting him and loving him, I think he's going to be all right, man.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've actually been in contact with his agent trying to get him on Chief Concerns. So we're
still, really?
Still okay. Still trying to make that happen. But, you know, yeah, what you said, though, a lot of Chief fans, I think, just expected this 2014, you know, Josh Gordon. And it's like, not going to get that, you know, that's a long time ago. And I don't think he's far off from that. But, I mean, you're not going to get that. And also, forgetting the 2014 one. I mean, what before this last go round, he was with Seattle in 2018, I believe, or 2019.
Yeah.
He actually looked good. And that was also, they had plays that were designed for him. We already had a full offense. We kind of were just trying to fit him into what we were already doing. We're like, right. And I know people said, well, look at Odell when he went to the Rams this year. They had plays for him. Yeah, because they had packages just for him. We didn't do that with Josh. It was more like, this is what we're doing. Plug in at this. And like, you know, if you're open, you're open. And that's what it seemed like. There wasn't anything for him really. You know, now I think with the whole offseason, I think Andy can do that. Andy can say, these are Josh's plays kind of thing. And, you know, going down to Texas and working with Pat, I think it's going to benefit him. And it's funny. Of the active guys who played last year, he's the second most senior receiver on the team now of the guys who were active, Harmon than him. So he's a returning veteran from the year before. So
right. He's the one that's been in this offense, no doubt about it. So he right now he's got that experience and a benefit over other guys. But on the OBJ, you know, kind of argument, OBJ had been playing, you know, he had been playing. So it wasn't like, you know, he sat out for 2 years. It wasn't that at all. He had been playing. And so he just wasn't getting the ball in Cleveland. And that was his frustration. So, like you said, putting, you know, plays together with, you know, McVay and them guys getting those, look, they can do that. And I think their system is relatively different than what we do. I mean, it's kind of extremely different, let me put it that way, than what the Chiefs kind of do. And so, like you said, Chiefs, they had the pieces already set. We knew who was going to be here. And so that's how it was more predicated off of Tyreek, Nicole, those guys, Travis. And so you tampered the offense, you know, for those guys. And so Josh is like a piece trying to fit into the puzzle. And so him coming in, not only trying to get used to the guys on the team, right, because that's part of the pressure, but he was making sure he wasn't going to try to do anything wrong. And so that makes him become, you know, kind of robotic, you know, not wanting to mess up, and he can't really play athletically like he wants to. And so now this offseason and this time, hey, affords him that.
Yeah.
And this is why I think it's so important why the Chiefs made sure they kept him here. That's the reason, because they knew what they had. And they knew, they was like, man, once this guy gets this and he understands what it is we're expecting out of him, what we want, and he understands the offense, you know, to the absolute T in the detail, yeah, we gonna be all right. So I seen when the little interview and the coach was, he was excited. You could see, you know, his eyes. He was like, yeah, man, this guy's a smart guy. I mean, it's not the playbook. Shoot. It's just him, you know, learning where he fits.
Yeah.
Understand the scheme of it. So, yeah. Yeah, he's going to be good, man. I'm looking for him. I'm pushing for him. Hey, look, Josh, come see us, man. All right? Come out here. Come see us. Come talk to us. All right? Your boy got your back, man. Your boy got your back. All right? So.
It's very true. Since the get-go of signing you, Josh, this guy's been all that number one guy in the Josh Gordon fan club in the Chiefs Kingdom. I do gotta say this. I think you're right. I think they are trying to like not give too much with this whole Josh Gordon thing. Because reading that quote, a lot of it was a lot of talk that didn't really make any sense. You know, like sometimes you listen to politicians speak and it's like they ramble and ramble and ramble. It's like, what are you saying? So it's like he said a lot of stuff in there, but it's not like it was kind of vague in a way where like he didn't really give too much. It was a lot, but like really not much there. Not really big nuggets there, but you can tell he's excited.
He's excited, man. He's measuring what he's saying because he understands that's how he should be, right? Yeah. And the thing is, you don't want to amp up somebody, you know, even more than what they are. The only one you should be doing with that is Patrick, you know, Travis, and you know the stars is here. All the other guys, it's like, man, they still earning their stripes. They still earning what they need to do to get here in this offense. But I will say this. This guy right here is showing up. I see this out of him. I know he's locked in. So when you mention a guy like that, which we really didn't have to. Yeah, you didn't have to mention him. But, hey.
Yeah.
It's promising. I like it.
And it's something that we talked about before. He's just so different from the other receivers we have on the team. Yeah, if you look at this Austin, we did go out and get bigger body type guys, but he's still so much different than everybody else. I mean, than we have on the roster. And so like that alone will always set him up for being good in this offense. But what you said is right. A lot of these Chief fans, they talk about the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 receivers that we'll have or the 6 we'll have, and they don't even some don't even mention him on there. I'm like, he's gonna make the team. I mean,
look, man, come on, I'm like, cut it out, man. Seriously, I mean, look, I get like, you know, all the hype, you know, with these guys and who we got, like with Justin Ross and those guys, but like I said before, Gordon was the standard, and so like I said, he's a guy that's still young. Relative, like as far as like not getting the hits and stuff on him, didn't have a lot of miles on his legs. He's going to be fun to watch. He's going to be fun watching this offense. And I'm pushing for all the other guys too, man. I'm just saying that I think, you know, Josh is going to be the surprise. I mean, if he comes out and kills it, he ain't going to surprise me. Not at all. Sure. No. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that sexy sports car that's been in the garage for the last couple of years. You don't really drive it. You maybe take it out on the weekends, but you know, you sold your other cars. You want to go with that full time now. And that's where you're doing with Josh Gordon. We're taking off the tarp and we're out rolling it out.
Wipe it down like with a diaper or something. Just, you know, just make sure it's just like, okay. And you just look at it, because you just know one day I'm just going to get out there, man. And I'm going to absolutely let this thing fly. So yes, sir.
That's so I'm very excited about the whole Josh Gordon stuff. And I know we've talked about it, like, you know, just knowing football, talking to you, like you thought Josh Gordon was going to come out and look and be productive in this offense this year. Seeing that the receiver coach kind of doubling down on that, just like, okay, Josh Gordon might have a legitimate year in this offseason and this offense this year. So excited for it. Okay. So for our next topic, this was something that kind of had a Twitter frenzy all yesterday. I just kept going online seeing a different person making fun of this and another person making fun of this. Everyone was killing this. Pro Football Focus had a top 10 coaching list, and everyone kind of just butchered this list. I mean, I'll take you through it. If you haven't seen it, I know JD and I talked about this a little bit, but if you haven't seen it, so the top 10 list goes Coach Belichick at 1, Coach Harbaugh at 2, Andy Reid at 3.
Yeah.
No problems with that one. That's fine. But this is when this is where the list goes kind of off the road.
Yeah.
So Coach Kingsbury at 4, Coach Pete Carroll at 5, Coach LaFleur at 6, Coach Shanahan at 7, Coach Vrabel at 8, Coach Frank Reich at 9, and then Coach McCarthy at 10. So a lot from 4 to 10, there's lots wrong with this list. I mean, you could, the top three, you can maybe say you can reshape it there. You can maybe even put Tomlin in the top three or Sean McVay in the top three. But top three, I'm not complaining about that. It's 4 through 10, just off the rails. Question, what were your thoughts on Andy Reid being number 3? And what was your thoughts on the entirety of the Pro Football Focus list?
So entire list, man. I responded to it and I said 1, 2, 3 is okay. I really don't have a problem with that, but yeah, the rest of them is out of whack. I mean, I just like, look, I don't know what they're basing it on. You know, I don't know as far as, you know, how they decided to make the list and, you know, what was the measures and whatnot. I don't know. But to me, looking at that list, hey man, it is absolutely criminal, okay? Criminal to where some of these coaches where they have them rated. I'm just be honest with it. I'll say that. Not to have Mike Tomlin, okay, in the top 5, right, is beyond ridiculous. Okay, it is. It's just beyond ridiculous. But I'll talk about Andy. So I'll say this. Andy's 3rd on that list, okay? I will put Andy probably number 2. That's where I would have Andy. Andy was probably the 2nd-best coach in the NFL. And I like Harbaugh. Harbaugh was my special teams coach when I was in Philly. I love Harbaugh. And I think he is probably, you know, number 3 or 4. And I think Tomlin is right there. 3 of the, you can switch those guys around. I don't think he'd be mad with either one. I think both of those guys are like, hey, you know what? Yeah, I got it, you know? So. Yeah, but Andy, without a doubt, man, body of work, what he's been able to achieve. I don't think there's any question of that he's probably the number 2 coach. Belichick, because of, you know, his body of work, his wins, Super Bowls and all of that. I don't doubt that whatsoever. So that without a doubt, Belichick, Andy, Tomlinson, Harbaugh, 3-4, and number five. Number five, yeah, probably would be Sean McVay. I mean, I like Sean. I like Sean McVay. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of good guys out there, man. There's a lot of good coaches. But, you know, Sean, because of what he's done with the team, you know, his, you know, what he's been able to achieve in a short amount of time, probably gives him that.
Yeah.
Sean Payton was on there. Sean Payton would be, you know, already top. It wouldn't even be a question right there. But having Cliff Kingsbury, come on, man. I don't know if – look, none gets Cliff. Cliff, you're a good coach, all right? Not really taking things from you, but Cliff Kingsbury Cliff Kingsbury will tell you that he's not – I think was a top five – coach?
Top four.
They'd be like, man, who made this? They would probably say, no. I'm going to take a backseat to these guys. Now, look, you got to have some confidence. You got a little bit of ego. Yeah. But Cliff in his mind would know, wait a minute. No, I'm not up there yet. I got a long way to go. And so, I mean, the guys, you know, when you talk about like Shanahan, LaFleur, those guys, man, I mean, there's some great coaches in the game. It really is. You know, Pete Carroll, you got some great coaches. You really are. Cliff Kingsbury, he's back. Put him at the back of the bus. I don't know if Cliff is top 10, to be honest with you. I don't know. I looking at the list, I had to look at the list and even know and kind of go through mine and say who's who. But Cliff, he's got talented guys. He does, yeah. You know. So is it always him? It's not really like a hate on Cliff Kingsbury, you know. I mean, we got, you know, McCarthy in there. Who else did you say? I think Vrabel's a good coach. I think Vrabel, you know, Vrabel to me might be a top 10 coach, to be honest with you. Yeah. What he's doing with Tennessee, I mean, he's getting these guys to play, man. He's actually helped turn his team around. And so what signifies a good coach is the players embodying who you are as a coach and what you do and what you feel and how you play. And I think they have that that stout about it, you know, yeah. that vigor, that mentality to win. And I think he does a great job kind of embedding into guys' mentality. I really do. So I don't know, man. There's some good coaches. Like I said, there's some great coaches out there. But Andy – without a doubt, number two.
Yeah. I just think it's funny because PFF, you know, they're like the big analytics. They rank everything on analytics and statistics and stuff. But, like, I saw a lot of tweets where people pretty much said that Cliff Kingsbury's dad make the list. I mean, like, that he compiled this thing. Because it really makes no sense when he's made the playoffs once in the 3 years he's been coach. And two of the years they start off a season like 6-0 or 6-1 or 7-0. One of the years they didn't even make the playoffs. So and like it's okay. I don't know. That was the weird one. Another one, which I get, he's been a good offensive coordinator in places he's been, but Frank Reich, he hasn't really done much in Indianapolis since he's been the head coach there. And they choked away a potential playoff berth last year, losing the last two games, losing to Jacksonville last game of the season, which yeah, kick them out of the playoffs. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, Frank's a good coach. He's a good coach, man. He is. But, you know, I think there's guys without a doubt ahead of him. You know, we're sitting there saying that, right?
I'm just saying to not have Mike Tomlin in the top 10, I just think it's so bizarre to me.
Criminal. Put it like that, criminal. And so I don't know who checks off on sending these things out, but somebody said, hey, whoa, wait a minute, what's Tomlin at this? I've been looking at, we'll put Mike Tomlin in there somewhere. I don't care where you squeeze him in. That joker need to be in there top five. So
it's almost as if like whoever made this list was talking around with his buddies, not actually doing research on it, just like saying out, throwing out names out there. And after you could probably listen, wait, I missed a name earlier. Right? I didn't say a name. Like at that point, you'd be like, after you look at it, like, wait, I'm missing a name here. Okay, Mike Tomlin. Yeah, he needs to be in that list. It's like he didn't like fact check it or look it over. But these guys pride themselves on analytics and numbers, so obviously they did. Their formula led him to this list. So yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I just it's laughable. It is laughable.
Man, it got everybody making fun of Pro Football Focus. So I guess in a way it was a little advertisement. Everyone making fun of your algorithms to make this top 10 list.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just thought that was very funny because everybody on Twitter had a fun one with that. Even a lot of players are making fun of it too.
I mean, I'm sure, you know, all the measurements goes into like the strength of the schedule since he's been there. Maybe I mean all those different things. I mean, when you're talking about the numbers and analyzing everything,
yeah,
you know, everything comes into, you know, into it, man. But I just, I don't know.
I mean, looking at lifetime of your record, I mean, has he had like one has he even had a losing season? Yeah, I think he's had one losing season, right?
I think it's reverse. Yeah, I think it may have. I don't know. I'm not sure.
I mean, the fact that we're questioning, was it one losing season or was it a losing season? I think they went 8-8 maybe a year. Like, I don't think they – it's a crazy record. And I don't care if people could say, oh, you know, that's Pittsburgh. You know, I think that what was that – one of the first years when they won the Super Bowl, I was like, oh, that's Cowher's team they won with. It's like, I mean, okay.
Right. Come on.
You can't win with some people, man. Okay, so our final topic, we kind of hinted at this earlier in the show, but talking about contract situations and how that can just kind of have implications and impacts for years to come. And, you know, we mentioned Mahomes' contract that kind of changed the quarterback market. The Davante Adams changed the receiver market, which made us trade Tyreek Hill. So a lot of things happened that way. So this week, Aaron Donald, who there was a little thing floating around during the Super Bowl that he may retire, it might be his last season. Not the case at all. Donald's set to make around $100 million over the next 3 years, being the highest paid non-NFL quarterback in NFL history at 31 years old. But it's pretty impressive, non-quarterback to get the money that he's going to get. So obviously, naturally, a lot of people start talking about what does this mean for Chris Jones? What's going to happen? Is he going to renegotiate his contract to get money up there with Aaron Donald? Because, you know, he is top three defensive tackle in the league. I mean, I think there's a little bit of a gap between Donald and Jones, but he's up there. So now with this whole thing happening, and we also talked about this, he wanted to play DN because he wanted to get DN money. Now that we're seeing a D tackle getting this kind of money, it's like, okay, let's pay up here. So and the thing is, but before Donald got the raise, when Jones signed his new deal 2 years ago, he was only within $2 million of Aaron Donald. Now there's a big gap between him and Aaron Donald. So my question is, do you think that Chris Jones in a year or two will be asking to renegotiate his contract? And a lot of Chief fans think that if this does happen, we may ship Chris Jones out, like kind of what we did with Tyreek, just being kind of too much money for our taste. But then again, we're losing another guy on defense that we're already kind of, you know, tipping the scales from offense to defense on this. And if you get rid of Chris Jones, that's a big deal to get rid of a guy like that. So yeah, that's – what do you think this means for the defensive tackle market and Chris Jones?
I mean, he, without a doubt, when we negotiated, you know, a couple of years, I mean, that would be the smart thing. I wouldn't be mad at that because he's supposed to. And if you're playing at a high level and you're producing, then you should be paid. You should be paid accordingly to what you produce off of. And so if he continues to, you know, steal, play stellar and just be right there at the level of talent that he is and skill set, hey, man, hey, that's part of the deal. The question is, like everything else, are the Chiefs willing to pay him? We don't know, right? I mean, like I said, this is part of the deal. I think Aaron Donald's deal, here's the thing. Aaron Donald, because of the significance he was able to do, what he gives, is a little bit of an anomaly, okay, to me. Because now he was making more money than, who's that, T.J. Watt, who else played, I think Bosa, signed these big deals. And so, you know, he demanded that money. And so I think the greatest thing he possibly could have did was tell everybody, I'm ready to retire. I'm going to retire, right? And everybody was like, no. I'm gone. I'm late. Look, I'm gone. I appreciate it. I'm out of here. Sean McVay was sitting there saying, look, we done had a taste of a Super Bowl. We are not getting to the Super Bowl and winning the Super Bowl without Aaron Donald.
No.
You know, it's not doing it. Okay. Let's just be honest here. And so if we're that close and we're that team to beat in the NFC, we have to make sure this guy is here with us. And so let's talk him out of retirement, whatever it may be. I don't care what it is. Hey, matter of fact, I'm going to turn my back. Y'all sign whatever y'all want to sign him for. I ain't even going to look. You know, he's like, kids, I ain't even going to look. Y'all just, hey, drive the bank truck up to his house and let him get a couple bags up out of here. I don't care how much it is. And we'll deal with it. But he's, look, Aaron Donald is an absolute animal. He's stud, you know, one of the best in the business. Probably one of the best when it's all said and done, no doubt about it. He's warranted getting paid that type of money. Yeah. And so, yeah, why not? If you have a chance to negotiate a contract like this and take advantage of it because it's an opportune time, do it.
Right.
Do it. So I ain't got no problem with Aaron Donald signing that deal. He's worth every penny, no doubt about it. I really do. He's a young guy, keeps his body in great shape. So you're not looking for him to slow down anytime soon. Yeah. So I know he was sitting there saying, like, look, I get these guys out here getting the money and stuff like that. But look, you see what I've been able to do year after year after year after year after year. I've been dominant. I've been the most dominant defensive tackle since I've been in the league. Yeah. I mean, he has. I don't know anybody else that's been able to achieve what he's been able to achieve. I mean, can you name one? I mean, and look, Chris has been doing a tremendous job. He's doing a great job.
Yeah.
Now,
big margin.
Yeah. And so when I know you were saying, you know, he's couple of million from him, last year, but it's new year now, right? It's new. Just won the Super Bowl and hey, contract's up. Give him the money. Rams had no problem paying that money. Now the Chiefs might have a problem paying that type of paycheck, right? And that's wait to be seen.
Yeah.
I don't know. So I'm just saying, you know, if Chris continues to perform, he's performing at a high level like Aaron Donald is making the sacks and all of this, because he said he wanted to be defensive player of the year. Well, I tell you what, Chris, you become defensive player of the year, you can ask for that.
Yeah.
You can ask for it. And it's business. And if the Chiefs says, like, look, you know, you just, hey, too rich for our blood, we can't sign you. Somebody's going to pay you.
Yeah.
You do it, somebody's going to pay you, man. Look, I'm all for NFL players getting paid, period. I don't care if they're here, they go somewhere else. It's the nature of the beast, man. It's the nature of the beast. So, I don't know. I just know where, you know, kind of in that time, there's going to be some contracts coming up and different guys and whatnot. So, it's all, like I said, it's all about production. You know, it's all about what you do on the field. So
you bring up a good point. When you say that, like, when Donald's kind of an anomaly for his position, right? Because we talk about, you know, Jones wanting to play more DN because he wanted to get paid like an edge rusher, but now a guy in his own position is getting paid like, you know, getting paid big money. So now that takes care of that position, that stance. So now, you know, he can stay in his defensive tackle, not worry about DN anymore for multiple reasons, because, I mean, it didn't really work out in the end. But him being an anomaly, Mahomes is an anomaly to the quarterback position. His contract is his contract, and no one's really, like, as far as that half a bill and then, you know, a 10-year deal that he got, no one's ever going to get that. And quite frankly, I think Mahomes kind of gave us a deal by doing that, but half a billion's a big number, right? So no quarterbacks have asked for that, but it's also changed the market where a lot of quarterbacks are asking for a lot more than what they did before. So, I mean, I guess, is there a happy medium where Chris Jones won't ask to be within $2 million of Aaron Donald because that contract is such an anomaly for the position, but he'll ask for more money obviously more money because everything's going to go up, but like he'll ask for more money, like, you know, being like the Derek Carr territory. If Derek Carr's getting paid good money for what he's produced, but, and he can thank guys like Mahomes for that kind of contract. So you see like that kind of happening with all different positions, like where guys, there's going to be that one guy who's kind of like, you can't really compare him, but he's going to raise the bar for everybody else, or everyone can kind of move.
Yeah. Look, what Aaron Donald was able to do for everybody else to play defensive tackle was phenomenal. I mean, everybody should call him like, man, thank you. Cause you can just raise the mark you have. So as you know, agents and negotiators, now this is what has been set. And even if you're paying like, you know, getting franchise tag, you're still going to be making a whole lot of money from what he's been able to do. So, you know, the defensive tackles, hey, should be thankful for Aaron Donald, him making that contract, because everybody else's money is going up. And like I said, it's all based off the team. You know, teams like that got it. Like, you know, Rams, like, man, why you sign that deal? You know what I mean? Because, you know, teams are asking that. It's like, man, he's worth it. You know, if we can have this guy here, we want to hear, we don't mind paying him that type of money. Now, you on your own, okay? Trying to pay defensive tackles and stuff, you on your own trying to deal with that. We know we got an Aaron Donald here, and he's worth every penny that we're paying him. So it's in your court how you want to do everybody else. But yeah. I mean, I think when you do that and you get the average and all those different things, man, it just helped out the market for defensive tackles. But they can't say, well, he's an anomaly. No, this is the market. This is where we are. So, okay.
Yeah, I mean, but you do see, I mean, quarterbacks aren't asking for what Mahomes got, though, because they know there's a difference between me, Derek Carr. I know I'm not Patrick Mahomes, you know, like, but I want money. I want to be up in that kind of that. I want to be trending towards that area.
Right. So even if you're $5 million off, right, whatever, right. I think Aaron Donald's making like 33 a year. Is that somewhere like that? And then where he's
making? Yeah, it's roughly about $100 million over the next 3 years. So yeah, about 33 something a year.
That is insane. Yeah, the guys have been trying to negotiate. Like, look, I might not get Aaron Donald money, but I got to be somewhere, you know, in the neighborhood, you know, maybe five or so with this, right? I have to be.
It's
part of negotiation, man. Like I said, and it's all about teams signing that deal, signing those guys. And if not, guys will hold out. He got paid that type of money. Look, we're not asking for the $33 million. We're not Aaron Donald. I could say, okay, we're not, but I need to see, I don't know, 28.
Yeah.
Whatever. So –
And that's what George Kittle is trying to get Kelce to do to make that tight end mark.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the whole point. They're right. Look. And it's honorable. I understand Travis without a doubt, man. And I completely respect that 100%. 100%. You know, the thing is, you know, guys that come after want to stand on his shoulders, right? Yeah. Travis, look, he deserves that money too. For what his production, man, he deserves good money. He does. So, George is like, look, pay the man. Pay. Come on, Travis, pay.
it's tough for George Kittle to make the argument. He needs to get paid more than Travis Kelce. It's like, well, look at your production and look at his production. I don't think so, buddy.
Yeah, but he's like, man, if I could just get that, just get the average up. Just get the average up. We're going to be good, you know?
Yeah, I mean – it'll be interesting. I mean, if Chris Jones plays like DPOY, as we talked about last year, I mean, he can't justifiably say, get me in that ballpark.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Conversation changes then. If he does that, conversation changes, without a doubt. He can warrant that contract saying, look, see what he got? See what I did? Take note of it.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, interesting. And you know, the salary cap's going to continue to rise too. So, I mean, these contracts will go up, but also salary cap's going to be going up too. So that's another thing that's got to be taken into account. Because I think everyone's gotten into the last 2 years of the whole COVID salary cap not really going up that much. Everyone's been kind of like been very frugal about it. It's not going to be like that forever. It's going to continue to go up with more TV deals the NFL's going to be getting. So, you know, teams will have more money to play with.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And a player is going to take advantage of that, which they rightfully should do. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. So, I mean, I hope Jones plays up to whatever he's going to ask for if he does want to renegotiate. But, man, it's going to be interesting offseason next year if that does happen, because you might see another situation where we don't want to pay a certain thing. But it's like we talked about, you can't just go ahead and find another guy. You can't find another Chris Jones. You can't just go find another one like that. You just can't do that.
No, you can't. And I guess if you can't find another Chris Jones – then you want to get something for him, right? Say like, look, then we'll have to do it a different way.
Yeah. We're going to want a lot of draft picks so we can go get our DTs and DNs. And
right.
Yeah. It'll be interesting, but you know, we got some time before that. We can enjoy Chris hopefully have his DPOY season, and hopefully we can pay him and not have to worry about shipping guys out, especially on defense where we don't have a lot of talented guys. Not saying that the guys aren't talented, but all pro guys like Chris Jones. So, I mean, you know, yeah. We have a lot of young, unproven guys, but aren't all pros yet.
No, yeah. Yeah, a lot of – and the thing is, you hope a guy like that develops. You know, that is a position in itself that you might take a chance, you know, saying like, look, I'll go to the draft and see if we can find a guy. You know, really. I mean, seriously. Those are just kind of like one of those, you know, kind of positions, you know. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it is different. You know, last week we talked about the tackle situation, like the off the tackle. But, like, yeah, I mean, I guess nowadays you're finding more of these, like badass D tackles. You're finding them late rounds and stuff. You're not really finding, like, those, you know, the Chris Jenkins or Big John Henderson types in the early rounds, you know. Mm-hmm. It's also kind of different, too. The DT makeup's so different now than compared to what it was back then.
Absolutely. Totally different. I mean, what, Aaron Donald's like, what, 6'1", 285? So, wrecking shop. So,
man. Yeah, I mean, he is an anomaly. He deserves every cent, and it's not like you're ever going to be like, man, we wasted that contract. So, no, you're getting every bit of that penny that you're spending, just kind of like how we paid Mahomes all that. You're getting what you pay for, really.
Absolutely. 100%.
And sports, basketball, football – and oftentimes, you're not always doing that. You're paying out of necessity because, like, we need it more so than you're paying for what you're getting in return. It oftentimes doesn't happen that way where you're getting for that kind of special talent.
Right, right. Yeah. Because there's only guys like that, same thing. You go into, like, the NBA. There's only certain guys that you're going to pay, right, that you just know. We'll pay this guy. He's worth every penny of it. We'll do that. And there's only a certain number of guys that deserve that. You know, to see if Chris is going to be the one that gets into that conversation.
Yeah.
Saying, I'm forcing your hand, you got to pay me. And if you don't pay me, somebody else is going to pay me for that. So.
Yeah. And Frank Clark's contract comes off the books next year. So we'll have money to play with too. So there's going to be a lot of stuff. So if that does happen, I think next year is the off season to do that. Because we're not going to have, and I was looking at it the other day, we don't really have a lot of guys, like, outside the new guys we just got. A lot of these guys are gone off the books next year. We're going to have a lot of money to spend next offseason. So it's going to be kind of fun to watch. But
I can sit there, guys like his during offseason, like, yeah. I'm getting ready. Hey, inside of me, I ain't going nowhere near the facility. I'm staying away until we start negotiating, doing some things, getting some things in order. Shoot. After the season's over. So.
Yeah, that'll be interesting and be a fun offseason to watch next. But got a lot of time before that. But for now, that does it for us. Thanks for tuning in to Chief Concerns presented by BetOnline. Everyone, go to the link below and make sure you go get your Chief Concerns shirts. They're fresh off the press.
Yes, sir. And,
ready to go. So looking forward to that.
Come on, man. And matter of fact, hey, we're going to send some things out. So like I said, we love the support for all different people and whatnot. Hey, keep coming to the channel. Keep checking us out, man. Like I said, we're going to get some good things in your hands. We're going to make this thing work, man. This thing is doing a good job, man. Appreciate the support. Thank you all for coming.
Seriously. But we hope everyone has a good weekend. And we'll see you guys next week. Hi, everybody. Thanks for watching. Subscribe here to get the latest from the show. Also, be sure to check out the best clips from Chief Concerns. And if you prefer to listen to the show, subscribe and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you get podcasts.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.